Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Let me ask you this. You know, when's the last time that you had something troubling come into your life, some situation? In fact, maybe there's a trial right now that you may be going through. Anybody here maybe going through some trouble and a trial right now? Yeah, pretty good chance most times in life we are. Maybe you got yourself into trouble, or maybe trouble came from the loss of a loved one, maybe the loss of a relationship, or maybe it's more of an internal trial and trouble. Your spirit is troubled because you're being challenged with a new assignment. You're being called to change or to stretch or maybe do something you don't want to do, but you really need to do. You see, troubles can come in many different forms for sure. But one of the things we can count on is that we're always going to have them. Here on this side of heaven, we're going to have troubles. In fact, this is what the Apostle Peter said. He wrote in 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery what? Trial. When it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But what does it say to do? Rejoice. Insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also, there's that word again, rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. So Peter's confirming here, look, troubles are going to keep coming. They're not going away. But he also gives us the way to respond when trouble comes. The word, say this with me, rejoice. Rejoice, Pastor? Really? That's the answer? That's the answer when trouble comes. You want me to rejoice? Huh. Is that what you did the last time trouble came your way? Did you rejoice? If you did, come on up here right now. You can probably just take this microphone and preach the rest of this sermon. Because you're actually way ahead of the game. If you did that, if you already know how to do that, I've got some people need to talk to you. That's good. I might need to come talk to you. But here's the thing, I think for most of us, our first reaction to trouble is usually not to rejoice, is it? Hear me, with God's help, I'm here to share with you, though, that we can learn how to rejoice in our troubles. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, with God's help, we can learn how to do that. In fact, in just a minute, I'm going to show you a story in the book of Acts that shows us exactly what it looks like to rejoice in trouble. But first, let's get to the raw and the real. When trouble comes, instead of rejoicing, oftentimes we have a different response, don't we? We find ourselves falling into what I'm going to call today trouble traps. Trouble traps. Instead of responding with joy, I'm going to show you, I think we have a tendency to have some different responses to trouble sometimes. And I want to talk about two of them, two trouble traps today. These are ways that we deal with trouble that can keep us from being able to actually rejoice in our troubles, which is really, my friends, the only healthy and healing way to tackle trouble. Rejoicing is, I'm going to show you that. But let's talk about this first trouble trap. I don't think I have the slide because it got messed up. So write this down. Y'all should be taking notes now. Come on. Put this in your phone. Put this on your paper. Here's the first trouble trap. Rejecting the trouble. Rejecting the trouble. What does that look like? Well, let me tell you some ways rejecting trouble can show up. Denying that the trouble exists to begin with. Just, oh, no, that's not happening. It's kind of like the grief process. That first step is what? Denial, right? You're saying, you know the trouble's there, but you're, oh, man, why is this happening to me? Next, ignoring the trouble. Ever do that? Just, well, you kind of know it's there, but you don't really give it any notice. And then in the background, you know it's there, but just ignore it. And then, of course, there's blaming God for the trouble, right? I'm going to say this 2 or 3 times today. I want you to get this. God does not ever bring you trouble, but he will be with you in your trouble. God doesn't bring trouble. You say, well, Pastor, what about Job? No, the enemy brought the trouble. Now, God allowed the trouble. The difference between bringing and allowing. Okay. What did Peter say? Trouble's going to come to test us. Okay. So, but my friends, God is good. His character is never, and I'm going to say this again, never in question. God doesn't bring trouble, but he will help you through it. I promise. And then there's the other one that sort of goes along with any of these things, and that's trying to find the reasons for the trouble. You know, sometimes we spend so much time, well, why did it happen? And who, we talk about all the whys. The problem is, as we go through that, it doesn't really help us deal with the trouble. You know, it kind of gives us maybe a little feel good for a minute. We're in the flesh. Well, God, why did this happen? We spend all this time on the why. Well, that's actually another way to reject trouble. Here's the problem when we reject trouble. Oftentimes, it can lead to rebellion. Don't believe me? Anybody hear of a man named Jonah? Let's go to Jonah, the book of Jonah. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, this is what it says. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it. For their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose. Oh, he rose all right. To flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it. So here is God giving Jonah the troubling assignment of going to a sinful people and preaching repentance. That is the trouble that came Jonah's way, the assignment. Well, Jonah didn't deny the trouble. He just went to door number 2 and ignored it. It doesn't say, well, he thought about it. No, he just ignored it and jumped on a ship. Right? That's how he rebelled. He rebelled by ignoring the trouble. You see, God had a job for Jonah to do, but he went to Joppa. That's Facebook worthy now. Come on. God had a job, but Jonah went to Joppa. Come on. Here's the thing with God. You can run, but you can't hide. It's the same thing with our troubles. No matter how we try to deny them, ignore them, blame God for them, or find reasons for them, they will find us. They will find us. And rejecting trouble, as we just saw with Jonah, comes with a cost. You see, Jonah paid a cost, it said in the word, to get on that boat. Well, eventually, if you know the story, and if you don't, God found him on that boat and put him in the belly of a whale for 3 days. So Jonah paid another cost by sitting in the whale. But hear me now, cost is not the same thing as punishment. Oh, come on now. You see, Jesus paid the punishment for our sin. So there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But there is a difference between a cost and a punishment. A cost comes with it sometimes a consequence. Okay? And the cost of rebellion is oftentimes separation. You see, that's what happened with Jonah. He chose to separate from God. Let's be really clear. God didn't separate from him. God's word says he will never leave us or forsake us. But when we rebel by rejecting the trouble altogether and not bringing God into it, we are causing the separation. And that's what happened with Jonah. When trouble comes, that is actually the time we should be running to God, not running from him. right? Instead of running from him by rejecting our troubles, one of the ways that we can learn how to rejoice in our troubles is to learn how to run to God in our trial. How to do that. Jonah paid a price until he finally realized the way back in the belly of that whale, in the belly of the big fish. And while there, what he began to do is he began to cry out to God. He prayed to God. And at the end of the day, he remembered the goodness of God. And he remembered how much he actually needed God. When a trial comes your way, let me encourage you to do the same thing. It was the way out of that whale for Jonah, and it's the way out of rejection for you. Remember how good God is. Remember, he is there to help you. He does not, I'm going to say it again, he does not send trouble our way. You see, people send trouble. The enemy sends trouble. The fallen world in which we live sends trouble. God does not. But God will help us in our troubles. That happens when we stop running, stop blaming, stop ignoring, and stop denying the trouble and run to God with it. You see, after Jonah came up out of that whale, God actually gave him the strength and the determination to complete the assignment that he had given him. And God will be with you too. In whatever trial you may be in, if you lose somebody, God is going to be your comforter. If you bring trouble on yourself, God's going to help you learn how to repent and learn from that. If you're suffering from a trial in your spirit, God's going to give you the courage to meet that challenge. And then the peace, his word says, that passes any understanding we could ever imagine. That's what God will bring you. Don't reject the trouble. Go to God with it. Now let me go to the second trouble trap. Resignation to trouble. You know, the word resignation means what? To quit. That's what it means. Resign, I quit. When you resign yourself to trouble, you are basically saying, I'm giving up because I don't think there's anything else I can do, and I don't think there's anything God can do. Do you see the problem with resignation to trouble? It says, I can't fix this. God can't do anything about it. My trouble just is what it is. Anybody beside me sometimes feel like that? Here's the problem. Resignation can lead to depression. You see, resignation can lead to depression. Depression is that loss of hope. Is that loss of hope. That's actually what happened to one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. His name was Elijah. You see, Elijah had just called down fire from heaven in perhaps one of the greatest fireworks shows ever. This firework, New Year's Eve has nothing on what God did with Elijah and the fireworks he brought down, literally from heaven. You know, we pop them from the earth. No, God brought fireworks down from heaven right in front of everybody. And on top of that, Elijah personally killed 450 false prophets with a sword. I want you to imagine that. First he calls fire down from heaven, then slices and dices 450 false prophets right then and there. That's what happened. It was one of the greatest displays of power, one of the greatest miracles ever experienced in Scripture, and Elijah was right in the middle of it all. And then this is what happens. Read with me now in 1 Kings chapter 19. Verses 1 through 4. And this is what it says. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. And he arose and ran for his life. He went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree and asked that he might die. That's what resignation looks like. It is enough, he said. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. Elijah, after killing 450 grown men with a sword, is resigning himself to the fear of one wicked queen. How does that happen? Maybe Elijah was tired. You know, this was kind of toward the end of his earthly ministry, and you know, maybe he had just seen one too many battles, he thought. But fear is a funny thing. You see, fear can lead to paralysis. Mm-hmm. We can get so afraid of things, and paralysis then can often lead to resignation. You know, when you're so fearful that you feel like you can't do anything, it paralyzes us. And it can cause us to fall into this resignation mindset. Well, there's just nothing more to do. Again, Elijah. I mean, come on. Literally, one of the greatest displays of power, miracles, did it all. And yet he was ready to resign to one crazy, evil queen. Let me show you how good God is. When Elijah wanted to give up and to resign to the trouble, God showed him that he wasn't done and that Elijah wasn't done. That's what he did. You remember, my friends, we do not serve a God of fear. We serve a God and Father of hope. Yes, come on. Can you just believe that with me? We don't serve a God of fear. We serve the God of hope. And so this is what he did for Elijah. First, he let him take a nap. Oh, man, I just love a good nap. Anybody just love a good nap sometimes? Right under that broom tree, the scripture goes on to say that God did just let Elijah take a nap. Sometimes you just got to rest. Come on. Sometimes a good nap. I mean, give me a 15-minute power nap, man. I'm ready to conquer the world after that sometimes. So sometimes rest is part of it. But then God brought him actually what he needed to keep going. He brought him two things. An angel brought food and encouragement. That's what the word says. If you keep reading that story, God sent an angel to bring him food so he could get his body feeling well again. And he gave him encouragement through the angel. Hey, come to me. I'm not done yet. Got somebody else for you to train. Actually got more things for you to do, is what the angel told Elijah. You see, the food was to give him strength for the rest of his journey. And the encouragement was to give him the hope that he needed to keep going. Don't give up was the message the angel came with that day to Elijah. And it's the same message I want to bring to you. When you want to resign yourself to your trouble, don't give up. When you feel the situation is hopeless, with all your heart, cry out to the God of hope. Cry out to the God of hope. You see, with God, there is always something he can do. Hear me, there is always something God can do. God never resigns himself to your problems. He just said, oh, I don't know how to figure this one out. I'm not sure what I can do. I'm not sure how. No, God's power, his influence, everything about God is unlimited. He has no limitations. He doesn't scratch his head like, oh, man, I'm not sure how I'm going to figure that one out. No, he knows tomorrow. Okay, so number one, God is the God of hope. There's always something he can do. He can feed you with new strength. He can feed you with new hope. When you want to resign yourself to trouble, don't do it. Don't do it. There's always something God can do, and there's always something he has you to do in that trouble. All right, so I promised you now to show you what rejoicing in trouble really looks like. We've learned what not to do, right? Go with me now to Acts chapter 16. There's a story in there recorded about the Apostle Paul and a companion of his, a fellow minister named Silas. And they were in the city of Philippi and were on their way to pray with some people. I'm just paraphrasing here, but you can go back and read the whole account for yourself. And on the way there, they met a slave girl who had an evil spirit in her, is what the word says. And the specific spirit was the spirit of divination. Now, Pastor, what's divination? What are you talking about? Well, divination basically is the ability to predict the future through other things. It's the modern day equivalent of a fortune teller, a card reader, a palm reader. Witchcraft. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Michael. That's what it is. It's witchcraft. So, by the way, those things going on today, the Old Testament name and New Testament name is divination. Okay? So what does that tell you? They're still as bad today as they were then. I'm just keeping it real. But getting on to this story. This girl, though, this slave girl who had this spirit in her, she immediately recognized, though, who Paul and Silas were. She recognized they were actually men of God. And she began to just start, hey, these guys are there. Listen to them. They're bringing salvation. And it says in the scripture that she went on for days saying the same thing. Listen to these guys. Listen to these guys. Well, finally, Paul kind of got, the scripture says he got agitated, basically. You know, I read a few commentaries, and I really believe the reason he got agitated was he actually saw this woman speaking truth, but he knew there was this evil spirit inside of her. And that bothered him. Eventually, you know, she's saying the right thing, but I know she's struggling with this evil spirit. So finally, Paul, it says, got agitated, turned, not to the woman, turned to the spirit and said, get out. Get out. Okay. Well, here's the problem and the trouble that created for Paul and Silas. You see, this slave girl's owners had been making money off of her because of this spirit of divination. People would pay money just like you do to a fortune teller. Hey, you know, give me $10 and I'll have my girl here tell you your future. So her slave owners had been making money on her and off of her. Well, they observed him, Paul and Silas, casting the spirit out. And the minute they observed it, they knew the jig was up. Right? They knew their money-making days off this girl were over. Right? Done. Well, needless to say, they weren't too happy about that. They were not happy at all. In fact, it says they became very angry. And they actually hauled Paul and Silas before a judge. Right there in town. Claiming that they were stirring up trouble in their city. All this Jesus talk and casting out spirits. They made the argument to the judge, these guys are causing too much commotion in this place. Well, the judge actually sided with them, the slave owners, and he had Paul and Silas beaten up and thrown in jail. Okay? Whew. Paul and Silas were put in jail for actually doing something good. Remember, sometimes trouble may come even when you're doing the right thing. And on top of that, there may be times when trouble comes because you do the right thing. Now, what happened next is the very definition of what I'm talking about today. This is what rejoicing in trouble looks like. Acts 16, verses 25 and 26 says this. About when? Anyone ever heard God called the God of the midnight hour? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Notice the reaction of Paul and his companion to what had to be one of the most, can you imagine a more terrifying trial or trouble to be in? You've been beaten, you're bruised, you're bloody, and then you're thrown into a dark jail cell. But what did they do? They did not reject the trouble, did they? They did not resign themselves. Oh, this is it. There's nothing we can do. They didn't do that, did they? They rejoiced in their trouble. They started with praying and singing. Hear me. They started with praying and singing as their first response and not their last resort. Oh, you're going to have to take a minute and get that. How many of us, when trouble comes, the first thing we start doing is singing and praying? No. Okay, if you do, come on. I mean, if you've learned how to do that, thank you for you. Thank you for you. I hope the rest of us can learn how to do that. Because a lot of times we're into those trouble traps, right? We're blaming, we're looking for... And the last thing we end up doing is singing and praying. If you want to learn how to rejoice in trouble, make that your first response. Your first response. Well, why were they able to do that? Primarily because they avoided those two trouble traps, right? But there's one other thing in the story I want to get to. One other very important thing about how to rejoice in your times of trouble. They found a purpose in their pain. This one's deep, but so important. When you are going through trouble, when you are going through pain, you got to find the purpose in it. God always has a purpose. We have to just uncover it. I'm going to read the rest of this. I'm going to paraphrase. It won't be on your screen, so just listen to me. This is what it says in Acts 16, starting in verse 27, going through verse 34. It says, when the jailer woke up. So first it said in the other scripture that their fellow prisoners were watching what was going on, right? Well, then it goes on to say when the jailer, the guy with the keys, the Roman guy, when he woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. You have to understand, if the prisoners got out, that jailer was dead. I mean, his boss said, you let him out, execution was the penalty. That's not just a cost. This is actually a penalty. This guy was going to be killed. And he knew that. So he drew his sword and was actually going to kill himself, it says, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul said, no, don't do that. Look, we're all still here. Yeah, I know the bars just came down, the door's open, but we're actually all still here. Not a single prisoner is left. We're still here. And then the jailer, it says he fell down before Paul and Silas, and he said, sir, what must I do to be saved? You know what he was really saying? He was asking, what must I do to be saved by the same God that just saved you? That's really what he was saying. That's really what he was asking. And this is how they responded. They said, sir, all that you need to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you, this is so good. And you and your whole household will be saved, is what the scripture says. Woo! Come on. And then it says the man immediately began to wash the wounds of Paul and Silas. Because remember, they were beaten up. They were in trouble. And all the wounds he had suffered. And then he and his entire household, it says, were baptized. Right then and there. Man. Rejoicing in our troubles looks a lot like calling out to God when trouble comes. Remembering that God always has the power, and also remembering that we have a God who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. It says, I will be your help in time of trouble. Paul and Silas knew that. That's why they were able to actually start singing and praying right away. Because, not to get into it so much, but this wasn't Paul's first rodeo. God had already saved him from so many other things. He had a history. This is why it's important when trouble comes, you need to remember the goodness of God in the past. That's why Paul was able to start singing, because he knew, this ain't nothing for my God. Oh, he's got me out of so many other things. Woo! Man, rejoicing in our troubles looks like crying out to God when we're hurting. Rejoicing in our pain looks like singing in our sorrow. Is anybody here just saying your sorrow before? Your heart's just so broken. You just raise your hand. Like for me, I'll just put on worship music. And oh, man, there's nothing like that. There is nothing like that. Rejoicing in our trials is this also. It's to understand that others are watching how we handle our trouble. There were other prisoners watching what was going on in this story. And there was a jailer who was looking at how Paul and Silas handled things. And it impacted him. Part of the purpose in those bars breaking that night was not just to rescue Paul and Silas. That wasn't the only purpose. There was a bigger purpose in play. An entire family had their eternity changed that very night. Yes, come on. Is that good news? It wasn't just about Paul and Silas and your troubles, as much as we want to think they're just about us. There's more. Remember, people were... Have you ever seen somebody who you know is going through hell? You know they are. It could be sickness. It could be a divorce. It could be whatever trouble is going on, and yet they just seem to have a peace about them. Did anybody ever know anybody like that? Yeah. I have. I've seen it. This is the only way that happens. This is the only way that happens. You just say, well, they should be this, and they should. No, but they know how to rejoice in their trouble. My friends, let me say this again. Trouble, Brandon, if you want to come. Trouble is coming whether you and I like it or not. The only real question is this. How will you deal with it when it comes? That's the only real question. It's not a matter of if it's coming. It's only a matter of when. So the only question I have for you today is, how are you going to handle trouble next time it comes? How are you handling the trouble you're in right now? The trial that you're in the middle of? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, let God show you how to rejoice when trouble comes. Cry out to Him when trouble comes. Don't run from Him. Remember the goodness of God when that trial or test comes. And remember, God did not send the trouble. Please, I'm going to say this for the third time. God didn't send the trouble, but He will be with you in your trouble. I promise, but more importantly, God promises. It's a promise you can count on. Always remember, when you're going through trouble, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says that God is going to use all things, and by the way, that does include our troubles. He's going to use all things for our good as long as we love Him and we trust His plans and His purposes for our life. Let me close with a beautiful scripture that sums this up so well. It won't be on your screen. Just listen to me. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It just beautifully brings to a perfect point what I'm trying to say. It says this, rejoice always. Rejoice when? Sometimes? No. Always. Pray without what? Ceasing. Those of you that know the scripture, yeah, I'm glad I got the, ooh, this is good. See, it's not even on the screen. I got some response. It tells me you people are reading your Bibles. This is good. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks. The next thing it says is, give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say just give thanks when things are going good. And this is the beautiful thing. It closes with this. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, so many times I hear people ask me, well, what's God's will? What's God's will in this? Well, here's one place I can tell you for sure about what God's will is. His will is that we rejoice in our troubles. His will is that we pray without ceasing. His will is that we give thanks in all circumstances. May God's will for your life be done. And may you walk in His will for the rest of your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Would you just pray with me right now? Father, we're so grateful for your goodness and for your grace in and over our lives. And God, we know that you don't send troubles. But Father, we're so thankful and grateful that you are with us in our trials, in our troubles. God, when the troubles of life come, help us not to reject them and to rebel. Father, be with us and give us hope in our trials when we want to give up. And God, help us to understand, to be able to see the purpose in our pain, even though it may be hard to see it. Holy Spirit, come now and show us how to rejoice when trouble comes, because we cannot do it on our own. We need your help to learn how to rejoice in our troubles. We need you to show us the truth of things and how to respond with a song and a prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Listen, with every eye still closed and every head still bowed, would you just keep praying with me right now? I believe there may be some people in this place or even within the sound of my voice. You've been trying to handle all of life's troubles on your own. Well, Jesus died so that you don't have to do that. Right now, today, you can actually make a decision that will change your eternity, just like that jailer did for he and his family. If you're ready to believe that Jesus died for you and to make him the Lord and the Savior of your life, and you're ready to believe that right now, would you just pray with me right now? Just pray this simple prayer with me. And I invite everybody here to participate in this. Look, if you've already made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you're in God's family, beautiful. This is a chance to participate with somebody that may be doing that for the first time. In support of anyone here today who's going to make Jesus the Lord of their life, would you just say this all with me today? Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again. Today, I repent of my sins. Come, Lord, and wash me clean and make me new. Today, I make you the Lord and the Savior of my life. In Jesus' name.